It was around 1960, and a new guy rolled into Reno, Nevada. He was driving a white 1957 Cadillac Buritz convertible that still had the New York plates on it. Ted Arman turned a lot of heads on that first day. People were thirsty at the time to find investors for their mines, and Ted was the man that had the financial connections. His growing connections in mining eventually landed him as owner of a massive sulfide mine located just west of Redding, California. Little did he know, this mine was to become one of the worst environmentally damaged mines in the world. But there is a good nugget to be gained by this situation. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Ted's six-year-old life had a rough beginning when he found his brother and himself at the front steps of a Christian orphanage. Years later, his life as an orphan ended when this now 16-year-old teenager joined the Air Force during the beginning of World War II. His training, education, and abilities with aeronautical instrumentation quickly gained him a position as a training instructor in the Army Air Force's School of Applied Tactics. Eventually, the war ended, but his aviation career was just beginning.
At the end of the war, I went to a special school in LaGuardia Airport where they specialized on instrument flying. I got licensed to be able to teach instrument flying in New York State and opened up my own school, which is the Westchester Institute of Aeronautics in White Plains, New York. And I had 420 students enrolled. They all wanted to learn how to fly. And so that was interesting. And at the end of 2.5 years, the government stopped all training, GI Bills. And so then from 420 students, 25 of them became airline pilots. Then I closed the school down and became a distributor for Blanca Aircraft Company. And I had New York State, Connecticut, and New Jersey as a distributor for their aircraft. I was the only one in the entire New York area that was teaching instrument flying. Then I came west to get a divorce. I was married to a very wealthy family in New York. When it came to Reno for the divorce, I got into mining.
Iron Mountain Mine had been operating from the 1860s to 1963. You can imagine the fever over the recovery of silver, gold, copper, and zinc deposits that were sent to market. It was the pyrite-rich rock that really caused the environmental problems that plagued this mine. Breaking up sulfide-rich rocks composed of pyrite and exposing them to our atmosphere and then adding water is a perfect recipe for generating sulfuric acid. Seasonal weather would cover the mine each year with precipitation and cause surface water drainages and groundwater to mix with the newly exposed rocks. The outcome was a water flow of very acidic water that leached other metals out of the rocks, including copper, cadmium, and zinc. What made matters worse was this area ultimately flows into the upper reaches of the Sacramento River. Keep in mind that the Sacramento River is a key component of California's water conveyance system. If dilution of polluted waters from the mine were not available at the time of flow, many aquatic environments living in the tributary creeks down gradient from Iron Mountain Mine would be significantly damaged. This puts great vulnerability on the headwaters of the Sacramento River system. I have dealt with property owners that have been faced with Superfund levels of liability. Any past owner, and most certainly the current owner, can be held up to 100% responsible for the cost of environmental damage related to the property, in this case the Iron Mountain Mine. According to Ted, he'd never had the chance to actually mine the massive sulfide deposit in Iron Mountain, but did have the responsibility to clean up the problem. I asked Mr. Arman how he has moved forward with such liability hanging over him. You will be surprised with what he said and what he has chosen as his ultimate goal for this situation.
Well, mostly to stand fast and don't give up on anything. Just be a fighter and defend yourself and know that you're right. Then the victory to me is doing the Christ statute. And I realize that that's really my main objective, that during my entire life as an entrepreneur, you might say orphaned, and always in business. I never had a salary in my life, okay? But I always knew how to make money. That I know how to do. And regardless of what the conditions of life is, I know how to make money, okay? But then, at the end, where are we? Where are we going? I want to be with him. I like what he's done, and I worship him. And so the Christ statute is about his glory. It's all about glorifying our Lord. And so that's my mission. That's my life. And I won't let anything stop me.
In the midst of all the legal issues that surround this circumstance, Mr. Armand continues to see opportunity in Iron Mountain. Mine waters were found to contain many of the necessary components of fertilizer that can be applied to farms and orchards. The mineral spinel ferrite was found to be an extractable mineral that is used in our computers and other high-tech equipment. Imagine the marketing potential in this computer manufacturing industry. Ted has even discussed some ideas concerning the generation of hydroelectric power that could be harnessed from the volume of water discharging from his property every year. Each of these possible business opportunities come from a product of water's many interactions with the Earth's environment. The good nugget that can be taken from this story is that personal values that we develop throughout our lives are the active ingredient that will solve the problems in the world, no matter how bad the circumstance. Mr. Ted Armand is an example of someone with a tenacity and steadfast demeanor that can find the answers that turn your worst nightmare into an innovative outcome that adds value to water's presence in the world. Fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.